they were basically instigated or started by Rwanda in the late 1990s and then sort of took on a life of their own, and they set up their own army in North Kivu. Then when Rwanda signed a series of peace deals with Congo and eventually pulled out in 2002, the majority, or officially pulled out, the RCD remained as a well-armed and quite a redoubtable fighting force. It's probably the best military force in Congo. There's always a question of how much connection there is between Rwandan armed forces and between the RCD. So Rwanda can say, well, we've now sort of pressed our case and something is going to be done about disarming these former Hutu rebels, some of whom were responsible for the genocide, so we will not go in again, or whatever they say they're doing. But the RCD remains there, and they can fight on their own. So it's confusing. There are occasionally Rwandan military officers who cross over. As far as uniforms are concerned, they dress in basically the same kind of clothes. They all wear sort of these gumboot galoshes. It's very difficult to tell them apart.
The RCD, though, they're trying to be integrated into the Congolese army?
That is the idea, and that is the agreement that was reached prior to the establishment of the transitional government in, well, it took effect in July 2003. And the idea was that all the disparate fighting forces in Congo would be integrated into a new national army. This has not worked.
Does the international community have evidence that the RCD is taking direct orders from Kigali?
No, I don't think. I mean, there may be some isolated incidences, but there hasn't been anything written. There's nothing really documented.
So when Kigali comes out with a new statement saying we are no longer going to threaten to invade Congo, you don't have the impression that they are sort of sitting back thinking to themselves that we have this fifth column, you know, in eastern Congo that will do our work?
I don't know if the fifth column is exactly the correct analogy, but they know that there is a group of prepared fighters who can represent their interests. And this has been part of the campaign that Kigali began on the 23rd of November. It was more a diplomatic campaign, a political campaign, to draw the attention of not the world, at least the people who are paying attention to Central Africa, that there were things that were not being done. The FDLR was not being disarmed. So whether the Rwandan army per se crossed into northeastern Congo or whether they sort of activated the RCD, it's the same thing.
Do we know very much about the leaders of the RCD, what their plan is exactly?
We're assuming that their plan is to not lose control of North Kivu province. In between February and June earlier this year, when President Kabila of Congo reorganized the 10 military command regions in Congo, he made sure to name non-Rwandophone or non-Rwandan-speaking commanders to both the 10th region, which is in Bukavu in South Kivu, and the 8th region, which is in Goma in North Kivu. Well, the commander in South Kivu eventually was forced out, but there was a fight. Some of these troops from the RCD troops went in briefly and captured Bukavu and then were eventually forced to withdraw. And the RCD effectively lost military control of South Kivu. They're, I believe, and we believe, are definitely planning to hold on to North Kivu.
The ICG issued a statement saying that the program by the Congolese Army and the UN mission in Congo, MONUC, to voluntarily disarm Hutu groups there has failed. What kind of solution or what kind of ideas are you offering that might be an alternative to what you consider a failed policy by the Congolese Army and the UN at this point?
The basic notion of disarmament used throughout the UN is that this disarmament is supposed to be voluntary. And in many instances, it works because you have, say, defeated rebel groups, or the war is over, for example, in places like Angola. You need to disarm because the war was over. They had nothing left to fight. In the case of the FDLR, there's a variety of reasons why they don't want to disarm. It's been almost 5 years since this program, the voluntary disarmament program, was begun, and it has not been very effective. One of the things that we're suggesting is that there be military-to-military negotiations with the FDLR commanders and Rwanda to see whether the commanders, who could be integrated, brought back into the Rwandan military, and then they're assuming that their groups of fighters who are loyal to them would follow. This worked to a certain amount of success last year when one of the leading FDLR commanders surrendered to the Rwandans and brought back a certain number of men with him. And so rather than sitting around and waiting for individuals or groups to voluntarily give up their arms, we're suggesting a more robust action on the part of the Rwandans, that if they want to eliminate this problem, they should arrange some kind of accommodation with the military commanders. One of the problems is that FDLR also calls itself a political movement. It's based in exile in Germany, and they keep calling for political negotiations, and the government in Kigali refuses the political negotiations until the armed element has been taken care of.